Well, turn your Bibles to John chapter number 3. John chapter number 3. Very simple outline this morning and thought from the Word of God. Last Sunday and a week ago at the banquet, both Sunday school and the banquet lessons were on the gift that God has given us at Christmas time. And we talked about the gift and we, of course, discussed many things at the banquet about this gift that God has given. Then in Sunday school last week, we looked at the value of a gift. How do you determine the value of a gift? What is it that makes it valuable? And we looked at that, and of course, the most valuable gift we've ever been given was the gift of Jesus and His Son, and Jesus, the Son of God. And so this morning, I want to look at the giver. We've looked at the gift, and now I want us to look at the giver. John chapter 3 and verse number 16, probably the world's most famous verse, one that can be quoted by most believers and a lot of the world who maybe don't even believe in God can quote this. But John chapter 3, verse number 16, say it with me if you know it or you got it open there. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God is the giver, and we want to talk about that just from this verse. We're just going to walk through this verse a little bit, talk about some of this, and hopefully God will speak to your heart. Dave, good to see you. Welcome to Hunt Valley Baptist Church. So good to have you back with us as well. We were just talking about the college students that will be rolling in, and so welcome home. Well, here in John 3:16, we're told about how God is the giver of this gift that we've discussed last week. 2,000 years ago, a little over, a gift was left under the Christmas tree of life for each and every soul on the earth. It's there, it's available, and sadly, as we discussed last week, many times it's an unclaimed gift. The gift is there. Every gift is wrapped the same. Every gift looks the same. It is a gift that is the same. Inside the box could contain a scroll that would have these words on it, "For God so loved the world that He gave." God gave His Son. It's there. It's available for the whole world. We're just going to walk through this text and look at the meaning of these words and kind of contemplate it for a few minutes. First of all, we see for God. If the gift would have come from any other place, it would have just been a gift. It would not be eternal. It would not have eternal value. It would not be sufficient to be the Lamb once slain for all the world. If the gift here came from any other place than God, it wouldn't have been enough. It may have been valuable, it may have been appreciated, but it wouldn't have been enough to pay our sin's debt. You see, for, the word for assigns meaning. It assigns a reason. It assigns a purpose. For. It assigns, it's because of that. For. Because man is a sinner, man is standing in judgment before an almighty God. Because of that, because every man ever born was born a sinner because of that, for God. Praise the Lord, God means all that it means. It's a word, and we look at that, and it's a name given to the Creator. But when we talk about it, God, with a capital G, we're talking about deity, the Creator of the universe, God, the supreme being, infinite, self-existent. He always was and always will be. It's something that in our mind we have a hard time even comprehending. I mean, we make things. God has given us an amazing ability to put together things, to craft things, to produce things today that are unbelievable. The technology that we can carry in our pocket. She lost her phone and lost her alarm clock. I mean, Those little devices have become so much a part of our lives. It's just a device. But you know what? All that we've ever made, you understand, God gave us all the parts to be able to do that. God created it all. God had it all and manufactured it all, and He gave us the ability to do it. God, divinity, the highest authority. He is all-powerful, the supreme ruler of the universe, God. And as the supreme ruler of the universe, He didn't just say, forget you. He didn't just say, man, you guys keep spitting in my face. You guys keep, treating me like this, turning away from me. You guys, every time I make something, you guys tear it up. I feel like that at home with five kids. Man, we just get the house clean and look what happens. I mean, how in the world do you guys make a mess of this so fast? I wonder what God thinks about us and our lives and the world that He's blessed us with. But God, the Creator of the universe, praise the Lord that the gift that we looked at came from God. And not just from a man. Not just from somebody, no matter how good they were or what means they might have had. If it hadn't come from God, it wouldn't have been sufficient. Amen? But because it was, it is. He says, so loved. Understanding that God loved us. You know what? I know some of your stories. I don't know all of your stories, and I certainly don't know your background, your history, maybe where you came from, what your childhood was like. I know many people, their childhood was a time that they don't like to even contemplate or think about because they were unloved. Sadly, had to grow up in a situation or a circumstance that they never felt loved. I'm glad this morning that no matter who else on earth doesn't show or express their love to you, that this morning you can know you're loved by God. He so loved. That word so. That brings the idea of in this way. To put on display. But God commendeth His love. That word is shows His love. That word so. You know, sometimes you're talking to your kids and you might say, well, I love you, and they'll say, I love you, and you know, say, well, how much do you love me? And they'll say, so much, or this much. It's so much. You know, when we were growing up, when Mary and I were dating in college, we didn't have devices. There was no texting. And there was one phone in the dorm for the entire dorm, and there was a 15-minute limit. Could only be on the phone for 15 minutes, but I'm not bitter about that. But what I'm saying is we would write notes. You know, the old fashioned, like, get out your pen and pencil, right, and write a note. And you put down there, I love you, S-O-O-O-O-O-O, much, right? God loved us so much. God loved us so much that He gave. He loved. You know, this is the only pure and unadulterated love in the world. God loved. It's an unconditional love. It's a one-way love. It's a love that is infinite and it's there whether we reciprocate or not. This is the only pure love that we as people will ever be able to truly enjoy, because you understand as a believer that God loves you no matter what. I mean, we spit in God's face. We sin against an almighty God, and God forgives us, and we come back and we say, we're sorry, God, and help us never to do that again. And we know we're not pleasing you and we disappointed you, Lord. And I'm so sorry. I'll never do that again. And I know every one of you in here are just as guilty as I am. We've done it again. And we've done it again. And we've done it again. But because of God's infinite love, we can at any time come back into the presence of an almighty God. And we don't have to worry about Him holding that against us. or Him slapping us back and bringing up into our face all the things we've done before, because His infinite love is unconditional, unadulterated, and one-way love. Praise God for that. You know, the person that we are here on earth supposed to love the most, our mate. Do you understand one of the biggest problems in marriages is that love is not unconditional? These are two people that are supposed to love each other more than anybody else in the world. And their love is so conditional, they can't even get along. They can't even talk to each other. They have a hard time living in the same house because their love is so conditional. It's all about, well, he's not, doesn't make me feel good. He's not meeting my needs. Well, she disregards what I say. She doesn't have dinner ready when I come home. What happened to unconditional love? One way. Our example of how we should love one another is Jesus Christ. And I can tell you what, we're falling pretty short, aren't we? We're falling pretty short when we can't even love our mate that way, let alone the brethren, let alone our brothers and sisters in church. But he didn't even say hi to me today. Why didn't you say hi to him? Why didn't you go to him? Why didn't you extend the hand of fellowship instead of sitting in your corner and moping? I'll tell you what, our love is so conditional. God forgive us and help us to be more like him. Amen? God so loved the world. You can praise God this morning that he loved the world. I can tell you what, I'm glad that God didn't just love India and tell America, hey, forget you guys. I'm glad God just didn't love Africa or Haiti or America or the Philippines. But God loved the world. It doesn't matter where you're from, what nationality you are, what place on this world you came from, God loves the world. You know that word, the, is pretty important. It lets us know that there is only one world. God wouldn't have created a world and sent it out there and say, oh, you guys are on your own. I love these guys. When we were driving from Chandigarh to Delhi, it's about a 4.5 hour drive. Brother Pratt, understandably, didn't want to make that trip again. And I said, listen, put us in the car with the driver. We're good. The driver knows where to go. We're fine. You don't have to go. Well, he still felt bad. So he sent one of the college students from the church there with us to just kind of ride along and ride back. I felt bad for that college student because now he's got to ride 10 hours in the car just to keep me company. But on the way there, the whole way there, this college student and Brother Pratt warned me. He said, he's going to have questions for you. He's going to have questions. The whole way there, he was asking me doctrinal questions. He was asking me theological questions, asking me about different books that he's read and are these a good book. You see, most of these college students that we had an opportunity to minister to, they're earning their degree, but most of them are beyond that. They're earning their master's. Some are earning their PhD. Yeah. We're sitting in a car discussing this thing, and he says, what do you think about aliens? He says, my family believes in aliens. Well, it didn't come to me till I was studying this verse. The Bible says the world. The world. Now, I know there is this philosophy and idea out there today where they're really pushing this. And I told this college student, I said, the devil's behind all this because one day they're going to have a way to explain the rapture. And they're going to, all these people are gone, and they're going to say, see, we've been saved for years. There's intelligent life out there, and they've taken them away. There is intelligent life. It's called God. And he raptured us up out of here. But they aren't going to want to believe that, so they're going to just believe. And they'll probably start these new government agencies to search for all those that were lost. Even though it tells them right here where we went. Amen? They ain't going to look there. They're going to spend billions of dollars to go try and find another world. It's the world. There's only one. And I'm glad that He loved us no matter where we were born on the world. This universe, this world system. You know, the world, when you talk about it in the Bible, the idea of a world system is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The lust of the flesh is that you might have all that you want. The lust of the eyes is that you might do all that you want. And the pride of life, that you might be all that you want. That's the American dream summed up. That, all of that is summed up in just those two words, American dream. Is that you can have all you want, do all you want to do, and be all you want to be. The American dream. You know, the devil would use those things to distract us from sharing the love of God, from fulfilling God's call and God's purpose in our life, doing what God wants us to do. He would use those ambitions and those goals in our life to have more, to gain more, to be more or do more, to distract us from just doing what God wants us to do, being content with what God has given us and fulfilling His call on our lives. The traps of the devil. If he can't use one, he'll use another one. How many of you are fishermen? Anybody like fishing? I mean, I go fishing for one purpose, and that's to spend time with whoever I'm with. My kids, my boys, some of the men in the church. Other than that, fishing's the biggest waste of time. I will just go down to the store and buy one processed and ready to eat. Amen? I mean, you're just sitting there waiting for the fish to decide. But you know that Satan's patient. He throws that lure out there, puts it in front of you, and pulls it in just a little bit. He's like, don't you like that? He's watching. He just pulls it in, and you're looking, being led around by whatever is that Satan puts in front of you, the temptation, the lure that he tries to distract you with. And if that's not working, if you turn and go away, you say, well, that ain't working. I'll try hot dogs. And catfish like hot dogs. Throw hot dogs out there. That's because they stink. whatever lure that Satan can get you with, he will. He'll switch it up, and he's got patience. He'll sit there, and he'll keep trying and keep trying. We need to stay focused on the fact that God loves us, and don't let the things of this world distract us. God so loved the world that He gave. You know, if God was going to put on display the measure of His love, He couldn't have done it in any greater way. Sometimes we give a gift and we would like the gift to in some way show the measure of our love. A 99-cent cheeseburger is not going to cut it. We want to show a little bit more. We want them to understand that how we feel. And whether that's an investment of time, or maybe God's blessed and you have the means and you can say, well, I can invest some money and I'm going to, you know, we do this to show the measure of our love. God couldn't have done anything greater to show the measure of His love than to give His Son, His only begotten Son. That means thus for, due to the fact that God loves us, He gave His Son. He granted us His only begotten. I know you've heard it, but you can give without loving, but you can never love without giving. You understand that God is the giver of the world? I know we're talking this morning about the fact that God gave His Son, but we could back up and say that ultimately God gave us it all, right? I mean, God gave us the world and everything that's in it. Everything that you have in your life, God gave to you. Everything you would look at and say, boy, I sure do enjoy this vehicle. Praise the Lord. Boy, I sure do like the home that we get to live in. Praise the Lord. I sure do enjoy the job that I, well, maybe not. I'm sure thankful I have energy today. I'm thankful that I can get up and I can walk around. I'm thankful that I'm not seeing double vision anymore. Amen. Amen. We can, whatever blessings we have in our life, they're from God. God gave us all of it. He created the heaven and the earth and everything that's in it. We still believe in creation, don't we? Haven't bought into evolution, evolutionary theory. I'm flabbergasted at how we're still teaching evolution, but we can't see it on display anywhere. There's absolutely not one example of something improving over time. It just gets worse. It digresses. There's actually some laws of nature that kind of were established many, many years ago. Who was it that established those? Does anybody know? No, the laws of nature? Well, we'll say Isaac Newton. I'm not positive. But somebody like that, you know. That's one of them, right? Some of those. But things left to themselves will digress. They're gonna get worse. Evolution's not there. God created it all. Not only did He create the world, but He's the giver of life. God created Adam and He breathed into him the breath of life. God gave us a life that we enjoy. Day by day, hour by hour. God is the giver of life. And this one thing that we're losing here in the world, especially in America today, is the value of life. We're getting to the place where we disregard it and we think that we're not too far from euthanasia. We're not too far from they're no longer a contributing measure of society, so we need to just let them die. We need to put them on some nice medicine, make them comfortable, and let them pass away. Because we don't value the gift of life. You know, an animal dies in a zoo, and the world gets all bent out of shape that the zookeepers didn't take care of it. A friend of mine posted a thing on Facebook that he was out hunting and he shot a deer and he was holding the antlers of the deer up, you know, and showing the deer he got. There's a bunch of comments on there about how cruel he was and, you know, how could he put that on display? And he's like, well, my friends like it and my kids like it. So, you know, they're all upset that he killed a deer. Yet we kill 3,000 babies a day in the United States. And nobody says anything. God gives life, and God should be the one that takes life away. Job 33, verse number 4 says, "The Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty has given me life." Job, in the midst of all that he had, you know what he went through. He said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." In the face of all of his loss, he says, "Hey, the life that I live is from God. And he's blessed me. And no matter what happens, I'm going to trust him because my very life is given to me by him." Psalm 16, verse number 11 says, "Promises that there would be fullness of joy in his presence." 16:11 promises us that in the presence of God, we have fullness of joy. Not only does God give us life here on earth, but we know that because of God's gift of his Son, he gives us eternal life. We have a hard time even fathoming eternal life. 10,000 years and we'll have just begun. It's even beyond our comprehension. But God gives us eternal life. He gave us victory over sin here on earth. Eternal life through Jesus Christ, his Son. Makes us part of the family of God. Joint heirs. If there was ever a more an undeserving recipient, you're looking at him. But I'm in the world, and God loved the whole world. God loved the world that He gave. I hope this morning you've gained an appreciation for the giver. The giver of this great gift that we celebrate here at Christmas. If you're here this morning and you haven't had the opportunity to trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, recognize the gift that God gave us in His Son and trust Him before it's eternally too late. Let's bow our heads in prayer and be dismissed this morning. Lord, we thank You for the gift that You gave us. We thank You, God, for who You are, the Creator of the universe, the ultimate authority. And yet You loved us so much. You displayed Your love by the gift of Your Son. I pray, God, that we would truly value it as Christians who've had the privilege of accepting Your Son and becoming joint heirs with Jesus, Lord. May we never forget that we appreciate the gift that You gave us. Thank You for this time of year in which we get to look at it and rejoice together over it, Lord. I ask You to be with us as we go in the morning service and speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.